This is Boinger from the Macross Share Radio Podcast. Today is Friday, May 9th, 2014. This is going to be a radio podcast talking to all the creative people I find on the Macross World Forum. Maybe eventually I'll talk to other people, but there's more than enough people to talk there that they keep me busy. Today we're going to talk to a Macross World member and also a Macross fan who's been working on a large-scale modeling project for quite a few years. If you've been on the Macross World Forum for at least the last 10 years, you would know that I'm talking about a fellow named MechTech. He's also known as Phil Allen, and he's been working on this 1/200 scale model of the Daedalus, one of the big battleships you would see on the original SDF Macross TV series. Hello, Phil. How are you doing today?
Good. How about you?
Not too bad. Slept okay, did grocery shopping, had fish and chips. You know, good stuff. So I was just wondering, how's the project going along? Or even before then, how did you start this whole big project?
Well, long story short, I love Macross. I've always loved the series before it came out. Of course, when I first saw it, it was through Robotech and stuff like that. But I was always into the model kits and loved the model kits. And when the TV series came on, I was like, oh, that's what the kits are all about. And to me, the model kits were cool because I had already built, you know, probably like 2 SR-71s, 2 F-14 Tomcats, or several of, you know, this tank or that tank, and just a lot of models. So the Macross models were cool because they were something different. And when I saw the series and saw it was about loving Japanese animation, I thought, hey, this is really cool. So I really got into it from the beginning. But with all the models and stuff like that, I'm always kind of like a purist when it comes to scale. I try to get everything in one particular scale because it's great to be able to put stuff side by side and, you know, see how it compares to each other. So I was always into 1/72 scale models because that was about as small as you could go and still kind of see like expressions on people's faces and still get accessories, you know, like vehicles and things like that for them pretty easily. Mm-hmm. But the problem with those is they were more expensive and they were rarer to find. So I went with the 1/100 scale models, and those were pretty cool. And it actually had built kind of like a big, I guess you could say kind of like factory type setup in my house, in the shelter unit that I had.
Would those be like the Airy models, kind of like those little chunky little models?
Yeah, the good old kits from the 80s, all the Airy kits, NMI, and you know, you name it. There was like a couple others, but there were, you know, that's pretty much what I had done a lot of building on. I took the bookcase, and after building everything, got a big piece of plexiglass and put it over there, so it was kind of like a display case slash, you know, kind of a large model. And when I would build my models, it gave me some place to keep them from getting all dusty and stuff like that. So that's kind of where I went with that. But long story short, I got a job and moved out of the house. And where I was living, even that was kind of too big. Mm-hmm. So I love the 1/200 scale kits that Nichimo made. Of course, they're not as good as the larger scale, but they were still pretty good, especially for the 80s technology and stuff like that. So I decided I wanted to have another kind of base, but of course it needed to be smaller because I didn't have the room anymore. And I got thinking about it. I looked at all the Macross vehicles that there were, you know, ships or whatever, and it seemed like the most feasible and what looked to be the most easiest to build would have been the Daedalus. And then instead of just building it, making it so the sides would open up so it could also be like a display case. And then because of its size, I was like, well, hey, this would be really easy to make radio control because I love making scale radio control ships. So that's where that part into it.
So you've made radio control ships before?
Yes. Yeah, I've done several types. I'm not as much into speed. I have built a couple of fast boats, but mostly like scale. And I've even gone as far as to make a couple of types that have like rockets that would fire off of them and stuff like that. So it was a lot of fun. But with this, I was like, you know what, this has got to be the penultimate for a Macross thing. You know, I was like, well, if I'm going to go ahead and make it this big and it's going to open up on the sides, I might as well go ahead and have working cranes and lights and sound and all that good stuff. And so that's how that all came to be. So It was a lot of fun. It took me about 4 years of figuring out how I was going to do it. And when I didn't quite have the tools to do it yet, I would work on some of the smaller aircraft, like doing the Mom's Kitchen and doing the VC-27 and even doing the Fanliner, all those 1-200 scale to be ready for the large ship. So once again, you could put it all side by side and see how it, you know, it would compare and stuff. So
you would say you have really good eyesight and good hand-eye coordination? Or
More like a magnifying glass. But yeah, I guess pretty good hand-eye coordination.
Oh, okay.
Just because I love building stuff. I can't credit my skills to video games and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but more so just loving to do model building and not being happy with what was in the box, and that's how I got into doing like scratch building and modifications and stuff.
Was there somebody that inspired you to do this stuff, or you kind of picked it up as you went along, this model building?
Kind of picked it up as I went along. You know, sometimes it would be taking a regular plane and they would make like a tank busting version of it, so I'd modify it with the cannon on the plane, or wanting to put detail into something so you could see the engine or ammunition on a plane, or you know, adding detail, so things like that.
Basically, it was Macross, it was love at first sight, it became a part of your life. As you were model building, did you like share model building skills with everybody on a regular basis, or does this just happen when the internet became more popular?
Yeah, more so when the internet became popular. So the funny part was I was working on computers and stuff like that in the early stages before the internet really came to be. So I never really got into it. I did it at work. I never really got into it much at home. But as I did and I talked to different people, they're like, hey, you should check this out. I started seeing what other people would do. And I did do a lot of reading at first for Fine Scale Modeler. There was a lot of good guys in there, and a lot of them had a lot of tips and tricks and showing how to do things like casting with resin. I was like, oh, hey, this is great, because what I used to have to buy is I'd have to buy like multiple mm-hmm. kits if I wanted to get a certain part out of it. And I didn't have the tools or scratch building skills to do some of those things.
So do you ever go through like a comic book store or find like any of those Hobby Japan models, magazines?
The magazines, no. But thankfully, I did find a lot of models in like comic book stores and things like that. In some cases, they had them off to the side collecting tons of dust, had them marked down trying to get rid of them. I was like, yes, score.
Oh, yeah. Let's see, your model building. You're moving around with your job, raising a family, and all along the way you've been building the Daedalus. Is that how it went? You just kind of bring it with you and keep on working on it?
Yeah, pretty much. And I did it like kind of like I was saying before about not having the tools. I actually kind of had to work my way up. Like, for instance, one of the things that I needed to do was to get the proper sheets of plastic that I needed, and like a lot of them. The Daedalus, especially in the front, is actually planked. It's instead of like planks with square ends, the ends are actually cut at a 45-degree bevel, so they can kind of roll around each other on the curves, and a lot of model glue to hold it together. And I didn't have those tools, so what I needed to do was to get a table saw. And I didn't have the room or the money for like a full-size table saw, but like Micromark makes some really awesome hobby tools that they would fit on my workbench and stuff. So I got like a table saw for that, but I noticed when I took a big like 4x8 sheet of plastic and tried to rip it on there, it wasn't big enough. So the next thing I needed to do was to went out and bought one of those wooden islands that you have in your kitchen and cut a hole in it and sunk it down so I could fit the saw in there. So that was like one step. Now I had a table saw that I could rip plastic on and would fit in my house. And then the same thing like with mm-hmm. the drill press, and then a disc sander. I had to get the money together to do those things, because to try to machine those things at hand, not only would take longer, but it's really hard to get precise angles with some of those things. And the table saw and the disc sander were like really big, especially in doing the whole of it.
So the pre-planning was about at least a couple of years, and then you still had to get at least a year or 2 years to get your equipment together?
Yeah, literally getting the tools together, you know, getting the money and all that. So got to feed the family first.
Oh, yeah. And then you had a little help from other people with translations for some details?
Yeah, I had a coworker whose wife is Japanese, and I asked her if she would be able to help translate the text. I had like one of the Macross modeling manuals, and it had a good description of how the Daedalus was in all the mechanisms and all that. Like, for instance, you have...
Was the Macross Perfect Memory, or was it...
Yeah, for instance, Macross Perfect Memory has like some of the pictures of the Daedalus in there, but it didn't have like a description of how some of the parts worked.
Oh, yeah.
And so I forgot which modeling manual it was now, but one of the manuals actually had like a good description in there, showed how everything worked and kind of went literally in detail how the parts are supposed to work together and function. You know, for instance, like when the main hatch closes, that it's supposed to produce a seal, just not the, I should say the ramp. So the ramp itself, when it closes on the Daedalus, it's actually supposed to provide a watertight seal, which is really kind of almost impossible to build on the model, but you have that before the actual main hatch closes down over that. So it's just kind of little details like that and things that were in this book that were a big help. And in turn, I took those and kind of put them down in graphic arts and put text to them in English and all that. And some of those you can see posted on the web. I wanted to try to make those available to everybody, so people wanted to try to do the same thing or even a smaller model, they could at least read it in English.
It's pretty neat that I think Macross is one of the animes where they actually, some of the guys had like an engineering background. They put a lot of thought in actually making it workable. You know, in some of the earlier anime, it was like anime magic thing just kind of smushed together and then smushed out. Things actually made some workable sense, at least.
Yeah, yeah. No, you can tell that in Macross they did try to draw in a lot of the engineering and show how things work, you know, like with hatches opening up or mechanics working and stuff like that. Of course, the drawing wasn't perfect, like, you know, like we have in modern times with 3D CGI stuff where you can look at it and it's all the same. Of course, those of us that have been scratch building on Macross World, we're always joking because there's, you know, what we call anime magic where it doesn't quite fit together. So you gotta work with it. But it's interesting. It's a lot of fun to try to make work. It's almost like building a puzzle.
That's what makes Macross, you know, interesting for you?
That, and I think the whole concept and the animation and just the whole part of it, I just thought it was like really cool. It's just not like one thing, I guess you could say. It's like the whole storyline and the aircraft that they use and in the story, how they work their way around the problems that come their way.
Okay, so how did you end up on Macross World Forum?
Actually doing research, trying to build some of the models that I built and looking at some of the pictures. I actually was kind of looking through Macross World for about a year or two and never really got into the forums much. And when I did, I saw some of the cool stuff that people were building or the good tips and tricks that they had. And so that's kind of when I started joining, because for me, it was a good learning experience and a good way to see some of the things that other people were doing.
Has your main focus been the Daedalus, or have you been making other models as well?
Yeah, the Daedalus I've kind of been on hold with lately because structurally it's done. I just had some painting to do, and because even it breaks down into halves, and even the smaller halves are too small or too large for me to fit into a spray booth. So the problem with that is I've had to wait on the weather to be right. Like lately, most of what I've had to do is clear coating. And clear coating, you have big issues with when things get too cold, or especially when it gets too humid. So I've had to kind of work around that. So when the weather's been inclement, especially with all the snow that we had this year, I've actually been working on for the last couple of years in between working on the Daedalus, some 1/350 scale models. So some people have seen it online, but in going from the 1/200 scale and trying to work with that, I found out that it is really difficult to find people and vehicles and aircraft in that scale in a good variety. There's stuff out there, but just it's kind of hit and miss. So I've actually moved down, I suppose you could say, to 1/350 scale, because it's about as small as I can get, where you can still kind of have people with a little bit of detail to them, as well as aircraft. And it kind of has the added bonus that instead of buying one aircraft, you buy several aircraft in a package, and it's actually a lot less money and less time to build, too.
So you're thinking of, once you finish this 1/200 scale, you could also possibly make a 1/350 scale Daedalus?
Yep, that's the plan. It's actually on the drawing board right now. And kind of just like when I built the Daedalus, I had built some models before I started to work on that. I've already done 4 1/350th scale models out of scratch to go with the Daedalus and kind of, I guess you'd call it the 1/350th continuum.
Well, I wish you much success with that. Maybe even a Kickstarter potential.
Thanks.
As we were talking before, I've been looking on the forum your project, and I was able to put together, well, just up to 2007, try to put all the pictures on the Macross World Forum posts and make it in a nice little ebook. Well, it's taken me a little while to get it together because it's quite a big project. Even just looking at 1 year, you did a lot of work just putting together the basic hull. And I can see the structure just being built up like in sections with ribs and an inner skeleton and then the planking. I guess you just try to get it all done like on the weekends or something, or?
I would work on it on the weekends and in the evening. It's kind of like my wife likes to watch TV, and I'm cool with that, but I'm only good for about an hour or so watching TV, and I'm like, okay, getting antsy. It's time to try to build something. So kind of work on it on the evenings when I could, when I wasn't out doing other things.
Let's say just for the year 2006, I saw you got a lot done that year. What were the highlights for the building? Were there some parts that you learned more from or found more difficult?
I guess it was trying to engineer how to do the planking. I've seen people do it with wood and stuff like that, which is really easy to work with. But of course, plastic is a little different. So I had to figure out how to make it work with styrene. Try to, number one, kind of keep the weight down, but keep it strong. And at the same time, get the right shape that I wanted. And I think that was what I struggled with the most, was getting the right shape. Especially the bow section of it. I actually did it about 3 different times before I was happy with the right shape of it, looking at the line art and everything.
You gotta somehow heat it and bend it and just the right angle or something? Or
actually, more so cutting it off and cutting new pieces to fit into
there. And then you seal it up and prime it and let's see. I'm just flipping through the parts of the ebook that I got done so far. I get up to the section where you actually hand built the motor. Maybe not the motor, but the impeller parts.
Oh, for the bow thruster.
So you did a lot of scratch building.
Yeah, I tried not to where I could, but just there's nothing that size or the right materials that would work. So unfortunately I had to, but it was a lot of fun trying to do it. Like the bow thruster piece, the motor and the impeller that you're talking about, that was one of the things that I wanted to have on there, because in line art you could see that was what it was. But at the same time, from a functional standpoint, it would allow the Daedalus to maneuver better. And with the pods that actually turned 90 degrees, it enabled the Daedalus to actually go sideways. So instead of just being able to move into a corner or to go into a curve, it'll actually just go sideways.
You've already tried this out, or?
Yes, I have. I don't know if the video is still out there, but there was some video originally posted of it actually showing it going sideways.
Let's say around May 2006, you customized a remote control handset. Was that a lot of fiddling around with stuff?
The radio control unit, transmitter?
Yeah.
The transmitter was just a basic, one of the first models that they had of the Spectrum transmitters. It was good for an airplane, but I thought it'd be cool to put a steering wheel on there, kind of more so like you'd have on a ship or for RC cars. And then on the steering wheel is a small panel of buttons from a company called Model Control Devices. I don't think they're around anymore. But the different buttons would allow it to have a function. In the end, I didn't end up going with that because it would mean having to turn the radio on to do stuff. But putting those buttons on there would allow it basically takes one channel and converts it to 8 more channels. And just to push it a button, you could have a function on there.
So there was, in the forum, you're saying you had to modify it, but it had to be legally modified. Like there's some issues about how radio transmitters work on these remotes?
Yeah, exactly. You can't change the actual electronics in it. So I couldn't change the way it worked that way. Like, I could change physically the way an input was put into the radio, but I couldn't change electronically how it was, because then I'd be messing with FCC regulations.
Would that potentially interfere with airplane communications or something? Or?
Yeah, what I was doing, no, but that's what they don't want you to do, so you don't accidentally, or, you know, every time you turn it on, the neighbor's TV messes up or something like that. So.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot of stuff.
So mostly it was changing the exterior, the remote control then.
Right. And then the other fun part that was about that was taking, normally like on an aircraft radio like that was styled after, you have a stick that goes up and down and right and left. And I actually took the two controls inside the radio that did that and hooked them up two separate sticks. So just like kind of like on an aircraft, you have throttle levers that you move together like for two engines. And in the case, I took the Daedalus and took two motors and paired them, and took the other two motors and paired them. So the sticks would move all four motors together, or it could just throttle up or throttle back, forward or reverse, a pair of just two motors. So what that would allow me to do is either just have a little bit of power with just those two motors, or I could actually take the throttles and put them completely opposite of each other, and it would actually cause the ship to kind of spin around backwards or forwards, depending upon which way you're looking at it. So it was a matter of having more control. And the fun part with that was actually finding a small pen clicking device, you know, like you have a pen, you click it forward to, you know, have the pen go out, click it back again to have it retract, using that same kind of mechanism to couple the sticks together. So you click it in and the sticks are coupled together, you click it again, and then the sticks are separate once again, so you could control the motors differently. Pen clicker, if you want to call it that.
Oh, I see. That little thing that looks like a handlebar can actually have two parts that you move independently. Okay, I see it. Well, that's a neat idea. Oh, that hull's taking shape. And it's all modular. You can take it apart. So you said it's sitting in your closet right now. What do you need the stabilizers for?
For that thing, because of how big and flat it is, you don't need them at all, but they're in part of the design. So I thought it'd be cool to put them on there. And since when you're transporting it, you know, that was part of the reason of making the whole two pieces. Number one, very few vehicles have the room inside of them to, you know, put like a six and a half foot long boat inside of them. So I made it so you could, you know, take it apart in half. Then the other issue with that as well, too, was just how, you know, everything went together. So making it modular kind of allowed it to do that.
Oh, you talked about the solenoids. What did you do with the solenoids?
Well, I started making some solenoids to make the fins retract, because that was part of the other thing. When you're transporting it, if you've got, you know, little fins hanging out, they're going to snag on stuff or get broken, whatever. Uh-huh. And so the part of the design was to make them retract. And the solenoid was supposed to do that, but wasn't quite strong enough. So in the end, what I ended up doing was getting some small servos to put on there to do the same thing.
And that worked okay?
It did.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. You put together the little pod engines.
Right. Yeah, because of the way that the Daedalus was in design, it just kind of had a small box. And the small box basically kind of sits too high in the water for the propellers to be in there. There wouldn't really be enough water around the propellers, and they would kick more water up than actually give propulsion. So I thought it would be easiest to make the motors so they fit in pods. And also putting them in the pods would allow the pod itself to turn. So once again, it would give more control to the ship, because you could take the pod and turn it sideways, or even turn it 180 degrees around and use it in that direction for whatever you needed to. But I mean, in reality, you don't need to, because it's got reverse on there. But the whole thing was to have every aspect of control that you could think of for the boat that you wanted to do. So putting them in pods was a challenge. Everything went into the pods to keep them small. And so instead of having a big old long motor shaft going through the hole, protruding downward like on a regular ship, which wouldn't match up with the Daedalus design, everything went inside the pod. And so it had to be like a short, stubby motor shaft, and then have like a stuffing box kind of go around it to keep the water from getting into the pod itself. So it was a lot of fun trying to engineer all of that.
Basically, you have the remote control, it drops the pod down with a shaft,
right,
so it catches the water, and the steering And you tested this out as well?
Yes. Of course, I got the bathtub test first.
That was just for the sake of floating, or was it any other kind of testing?
Just to test the motors themselves, really. The thing was too big to properly test in a bathtub. I wish it would have, because that would have made life a whole lot easier, but I had to go find, like, you know, small ponds or places I could bring it to test it.
Okay. I can see that you're testing in the tub, testing at the pond, testing with a lot of batteries. Does it need that many batteries for the motor and such?
Yeah, it's kind of dual purpose. Two motors went to one speed control, which went to one big 6-volt battery. And what that did is it gave plenty of power and running time to the motors. And on top of that, the big batteries also act as ballast, which I figured I was going to need once I put that big old square looking top on it.
There's like 4 big batteries on this thing.
And it actually had 6 of those large 12-volt. They're almost motorcycle-sized batteries.
Wow.
It actually had 3 of those batteries. The third one was for the receiver to keep it separate and for any other special function items. So they would have plenty of power, and when the motors were running, they wouldn't rob anything from it.
And they'd last for a while. You wouldn't have to take them out and swap them every once in a while?
Exactly. And they had a good running time on them, too. So,
is there anything else you'd like to share about your Daedalus project?
No, I think that's about it for now. Where things sit right now, it's about 90-95% done.
You said you were going to post up a few more pictures when you have the time on the progress of the Daedalus.
Yes, definitely.
Well, that's all I can think about asking you for now. Once I do another year's worth of forum postings and converting them into the ebook, then I can get back to asking you some more questions, because, you know, the whole process of building this thing is pretty amazing, because it's just you getting it all done.
Yeah. Well, thank you a lot, or thank you very much for going through all the time and effort to do this, both with the editing part and the interview part and stuff like that. I appreciate it.
I hope it helps.
It does. Thank you very much.
So I'll talk to you again, and thank you very much, Phil.
Thank you.
All right. Bye for now.
All right. Have a good evening.